2018 is a year of kingdom expansion. Kingdom expansion. It's a year of kingdom expansion. And I believe that we are experiencing transitional situations right now. Somebody say transition.
Transition.
Anybody feel like, man, I just feel like I'm in this transition place right now. Just feel like I'm in this transition. Something's happening. Something God is doing. Well, don't think it's strange that you find yourself there. You're really right where God's intended for you to be. If you're in the church, if you're part of the body of Christ, you just need to know right now there is transition that's taking place. And I want to encourage us to stay resolute around what God is saying, what God is doing in this season. Because even though it feels like things around you are unstable, you're part of the unshakable kingdom. Say the unshakable kingdom. You're part of the unshakable kingdom. Now, it's out of that perspective, though, it's going to keep you in a place of being stable. Because if you just think about church, then, you know, how many, you know, church life can be crazy. A few more amens would be good right about now. Church life can be crazy, but the kingdom operates efficiently. The kingdom operates perfectly. Why? Because of the King. Why? Because of the King. And so it's in this season that God is bringing, I believe, strategic alignments. I believe that this is the season that God is moving some things and he's shifting some things while at the same time doing a work on the inside of us to help us walk out what he has intended. For the next few moments, I want to keep talking about this thought that has to do with principles of kingdom economics, the principles of kingdom economics. And I believe that this is so important because as we move into the remainder of this year, God has purpose to release finances like never before. God has purpose to release finances like never before. There are some dreams, there are some visions, there are some goals that have been on delay. Excuse me. And it's not because you don't have the dream, you don't have the plan, you just don't have the resources. But I'm telling you that as we give ourselves to the things that we're hearing now around the stewardship and the principle of kingdom economics, it will be in this year that you're going to begin to see a shift and a change, and doors are going to open and resources are going to come to you, and many of you are going to establish some of the businesses, some of you are going to establish some of the entities, some of you are going to move out on your own to do the things that God has purposed to do in and through you that have been hindered by lack of finances and resources. That's a good time to clap your hands and shout amen. Now hear me when I say to you, this will come as you and I will begin to allow God to do the work in us to help us be the best stewards that we can be over the resources that he brings to us. As we've been talking about this, one of the things that I said coming into this year is that it's a new cycle of new beginnings. Say new cycle of new beginnings. Say it again. Come on, say new cycle of new beginnings. Now, it's important that you get that because sometimes we can think about how we've handled things in the past and just feel like we're no longer worthy or we've disqualified ourselves from what God is doing now. But I'm telling you, if you're living, if you're breathing, if you're in pursuit of God, you qualify for what he's doing right now. You qualify for what he's doing right now. It's a season of new beginnings. It's a season of a new level, a new cycle of new beginnings. Some doors are going to open for the first time, and doors will open a second time to give some of you, some of us, the second chance to get it right. Come on, divine do-overs. But as we're walking this out and as we're beginning to understand how God has created his kingdom to operate, he wants us to take our eyes off of the natural and begin to see in the spirit what is set in place. It's in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And you have to realize that what Jesus is doing is he is speaking to them principles of how they will live out the rest of their lives as kingdom citizens, not church folk. Kingdom citizens, meaning that he's telling them, this is how my kingdom operates, that in the kingdom, every need is met. Say, every need is met. In the kingdom, all resources are available to you to accomplish what I've called you to do in the kingdom. Say, in the kingdom. The key is to live our life out of that perspective, to live our life out of that knowing, that place of believing, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And so what Jesus begins to do is he begins to speak to them principles of how his kingdom operates. And he talks to them because he recognizes that they're living in a place that's not a whole lot different than the other people are living in. They're concerned. They're concerned about their well-being. They're concerned about how they're going to make it. Many of them left their jobs. You do realize that when Jesus called them, we have this term bivocational in ministry. Bivocational meaning that you work a day job and then you pastor on the weekend or whatever. Bivocational. But there was no bivocation when Jesus called them folk. When he called those men, he said, leave your stuff, follow me right now. As a matter of fact, when there were those who wanted to follow Jesus, said, I want to follow you. He said, then you need to leave your stuff. He said, well, hold up. Now, because they didn't want to do that. But those that answered the call, they left everything to follow Jesus. And so Jesus recognizes if there's going to be any chance of success, I need to help them understand how to operate out in my kingdom and out of kingdom principles. Say kingdom principles. Now you must understand, when Jesus was walking the earth, there was no church established. The church was not established until the day of Pentecost. And it was only later that they became Christians. Jesus never said, and you will be Christians. Okay. That name kind of came about by way of other, what other people were called. There were Epicureans, there were Stoics, and then somebody came up with Christians. Are you listening to me? Okay? Think about that. I'm a Christian. Well, who said? Where'd that come from? I just told you where it came from. Yeah, Jesus didn't say, and you will be Christians unto me. He said, you'll be witnesses. You'll be witnesses. But Jesus recognized that now they've left everything. Some of them looking at how much money they got left. They're looking at, you know, man, it looks a little tight in here. So what's Jesus do? Jesus starts modeling for them how the kingdom operates. Yes, sir. He's helping them understand every need you have is met in my kingdom. It's a principle of the kingdom. When you live by the kingdom principles, biblical economic kingdom principles, you will never have lack. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, that was like a golf clap. You know, a tennis match clap. So let me say it again. I want y'all to clap like, oh my God, thank you. That's it right there, okay? So if we will learn to steward our resources and live out of the principles of the kingdom, you will never have lack in your life. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I feel better now. I feel affirmed. Thank you, Jesus. I feel better now, Pastor Arnold. So, okay, so hear me now. Hear me now what I'm saying to you. I'm saying, see, what Jesus was doing is he's now modeling. He's modeling. He says, because they've left their jobs, their money's running out. He said, I need to help them understand how this works. So what's he do? When they're together, first of all, they see what he does with the water and the wine. Now, that wasn't his plan. His mother wanted that to happen, but they saw it. Then he's preaching, all the people are there, and his guys are thinking, we barely got enough for ourselves, let alone these thousands of folks here that he's ministering to. So they say, hey, Jesus, maybe we better let these people go home so they can eat, because we ain't got what it takes to feed them. And Jesus says, well, what do we got to work with? See, when you operate out of the kingdom, that's all you got to ask. What do we got to work with? There's nothing wrong with asking that question. Jesus said, what do we got to work with? Well, there's a little kid over here with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now, what Jesus does, he makes it a teachable moment. He wants to show them how the kingdom operates. He says, okay, tell everybody sit down. Put them in groups of 50, 100. Tell little boy, come here. Little boy comes, says he took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. Feed the people. As a matter of fact, he said to them, you feed the people. Jesus wasn't out passing it out. What was he doing? He was drawing them into the reality of his kingdom and the principles of his kingdom. See, one of the challenges that we face in arriving in this place of the increase and abundance is that oftentimes, even though we hear it, we're not willing to exercise our faith to do it, because sometimes it really is that ridiculous faith. And if you happen to be visiting with us, I just did a series on living in the realm of ridiculous faith. It's a series out there. You can buy it and get it on your way out. I'm guaranteeing it'll change your life. It'll change how God operates in your life. Because you see, they were at least willing to take the risk. Okay? To start. First of all, how many of it was risky to tell the people, sit down, we can refeed y'all? And you ain't got a clue what's really happening here. But that's faith in operation. That's how the kingdom works. Sometimes you have to tell the people, come on, we're all going over here. And all the while, you going with them. You the one praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, and crying out to God that when you get there, what you told them will be there when you get there. That's how we got here. So, he feeds the 5,000. He feeds the 4,000. Okay? What's he doing? He's showing them how the kingdom operates. Okay? Now, later on, they're in the boat, though. They get in the boat. They realize they don't have much bread with them. They start murmuring amongst themselves. Man, I thought you got the bread. Man, you know, Jesus says, wait, hold up. I'm paraphrasing now, y'all. He said, Jesus says, you mean to tell me, after what you just saw, that you're going to act like, quit acting like you don't know, and start living like you do. Jesus said, You were there when we fed the 5,000, right? Yeah. How much did we have left? Okay. You were there when we fed the 4,000, right? Yeah. Y'all fed them, right? Yeah. What we have left? Jesus admonished them. He rebuked them for being small in their faith, because he's saying, I'm showing you how this works. That's why when he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70, and he said, don't take anything with you on this first go round. He said, I want you to see that every need you would have is met. Why? Because God has a way of supplying every need. God has a way of supplying every need. So that brings me to this point as we close out our time and our teaching, at least for right now, in this area of kingdom economics. I've been talking over the last few weeks about four areas of giving. I talked to you about tithe. I talked to you about first fruits. Last week I talked a little bit about seed. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And then I want to touch on alms a little bit, which you saw us focus on in our benevolence. I want you to recognize and know this, that all of giving is out of grace. Say grace. All of giving is out of grace. Now, there were those that would say that the tithe is under the law, so you don't need to do it today. What they are not factoring in is the kingdom principle. Okay, you do understand this. No, maybe you don't, so let me rephrase it. Recognize this, that laws are in place to govern behavior. Laws are in place to govern behavior, meaning you don't know what to do, or you're not going to do what you need to do. So we have a law in place that penalizes you if you don't do what you need to do. Are you with me on this? Stay with me now. Laws are in place to govern behavior. But laws do not impact the heart. Yeah, somebody need to tweet that right now. Somebody need to post that. Laws are in place to govern behavior, but they don't impact the heart. God, listen to me. So God, knowing how his economy works, set certain laws in place so that the people could benefit from the principles of the kingdom, even while yet coming into the reality of it, and it becoming a desire of their heart. Man, this is good stuff. The law's in place to govern behavior, meaning that God says, this is how my kingdom works. These are the principles. So I taught you and I shared with you how that he spoke and said to the Levites, to the priesthood, he said, you will not get an inheritance like everybody else. You will not get land. You got me. Man, I'm telling you, that's as good as it gets right there. That's as good as it gets right there. Because if you got him, you got all the stuff anyway. God says, you got me. But in order for you to be taken care of, because you won't have land, this is the law set in place to make sure this happens. He's talking about this is the principle of the kingdom. He says there will be a tithe that's given from everybody to the Levites in their particular locales, and they will take that, and then they will tithe off of that, they will live off of that, and they will use that to minister to the widows, the orphans, and the poor. That's God's kingdom economic system. That's how God takes care of everybody. What Jesus was addressing amongst the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he says to them, yeah, you really stuck on the law because they were the ones that brought up, we tithe, yeah, you got that, that's the law, that's good. But what Jesus said, I'm talking to you about your heart. And the shift that took place as a result of the redemptive work of Calvary is it moved us from under the law and into grace. But hear me when I say the principle of the kingdom is still the same. But now we do it not out of a place of law because we have to. I do it because I love him. Thank you, Lord. I do it because I love him. I sow because I love him. I recognize that everything I have comes from him. So it's a small thing for me. It's a small thing for me to set aside the tithe. That's the small thing for me to set aside a tithe. I want to do more. I want to do more. And the guarantee of my daddy is that if I want to do more and I live out of that place of wanting to do more, he's going to keep blessing and he's going to keep giving. The scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. It says this in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. It says you will be enriched in everything for all liberality. What he's saying there is if you live out of this place, I will make sure you have something every time in order to follow your heart. Now hear me when I say this. So I talked about this from the standpoint of the tithe, and then we talked about first fruits, and I'm just grateful to those of you that are hearing the message. A couple have come to me even today and said, I'm sowing a first fruit today. I'm sowing a first fruit today. I got this. I sowed this. I believe God's going to continue to do more of this. That's the first fruit. The first fruit. Some of you are sowing that first fruit. Others of you are stepping into the place of recognizing that he gives seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. He gives seed to sow. When you desire to sow, God's going to bring seed to you. You must recognize that the seed, though, is not tithing money. The tithe is something else altogether different. First fruits are something altogether different. You get a raise on your job. You take that first raise and you sow that. You give that. That's first fruits. God, I thank you. This increase came from you. I'm giving it back to you because I know there's more that's coming. That's first fruits. When we talk about the seed being sown, and it talks about it being sown into good ground, it talks about being sown into different types of ground, but then it talks about seed being sown and receiving a harvest that's 30, 60, 100-fold. I want to say this to you. I absolutely believe that the 30, 60, 100-fold return is predicated on how you manage what you get. How you manage what you get. He gives seed to sow. So if you can think of it this way, God has a way of giving opportunity for you and I to sow seed. When you bless somebody, or God puts it on your heart to give, sow into somebody's life, you're sowing seed, and hopefully you're sowing seed into good ground. Now, God will reward that 30, 60, 100-fold, just depending on how he wants to do it. Okay? Remember I said this to you. Sometimes resources will come to you that you didn't expect. And maybe what you don't know is God is giving you seed to sow at a later time. See, you may be the answer to someone else. If you have lived out of a place of stewardship, let me try to say this in a way that you'll get it real quick. God sees so-and-so that has a need. God looks at you and knows you're a sower. And so he gives you the seed, moves on your heart to sow over here, and the need is met. God honors your obedience, and he now returns to you 30, 60, 100-fold. Why? Because he knows that when he speaks to you to sow seed, say seed. Now, seed has to do with harvest, that you will sow that. So he gives seed to the sower and bread for food. Seed to the sower, bread for food. He doesn't give you seed to eat it. He gives you seed to sow, and he will always make sure you got something to eat. That's why at the end of Matthew 6, 33, where it says, don't take no thought. Well, it says this. Don't take no thought about what you're going to eat or drink. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Perpetual harvest. Perpetual increase in your life will come out of these areas of giving and stewardship being practiced in your life every day of your life. It says, given it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Meaning, generosity begets generosity. Generosity begets generosity. God knows that he can speak to and says, hey, that $100 that you got the other day that you weren't expecting, I need you to take $100 and give it to this person right here. I see a few of y'all shaking your head. Rest of y'all like. Because we become the stewards of his resources. And then the last point that I want to touch on is alms. See, a lot of us don't realize that, and in the church we call it benevolence. What we don't realize, though, in this area of giving, again, in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, it says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. It says, and that which he hath given will he, him, repay, meaning God will repay what was given. One who is gracious to the poor, New American Standard Bible, one who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Meaning that the giving of alms, God keeps account. The giving of alms is you and I giving, and God repays that. The thing that we must recognize, though, and hold close is, in this area of giving, you do it in secret. Yes. You do it in secret. Meaning that you know that there's a need. And you give. Now, this isn't sowing. This isn't seed. You're just giving. Yes, sir. But the Word of God says when you do this, it's like lending to God, and He repays it back. He's the one that will give it back to you. In Matthew 6, 1 through 4, it says this New American Standard Bible. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored among men." He's saying, don't do that. Don't make a big thing out of it. That's the way the leaders were used to doing back then. He says, but when you do it in secret, do it in private, so that the person that's being ministered to is able to keep their dignity. Yes, sir. So we've been able to help a lot of people here at our church. And one of the reasons why we focus on benevolence is because we want to build that account up as much as we can. Because oftentimes the needs are great. And we try to steward it well, every need we can't meet. But the ones we can, we do. And we don't publicize it. We meet with that person, we have people to meet with them and make sure that they're taken care of, that it's handled. And I believe in that because I've lived it. Needing help with utilities. Needing help with various things. In the church or out of the church. See, alms, benevolence, it's not just for church folk. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be. If you and I are living out the principles of the kingdom. I just felt that. But that's just not our reality. Listen to me. I'm not trying to talk out of a place that I've never been in. I'm telling you out of experience. I know what it's like to have to go to the church and say, our utilities are about to be cut off. Can you help us? Our utilities are cut off. Can you help us? Y'all ain't talking to me right now. See, I'm man, I'm going right down the road now here. Okay? Yeah, because this is the reality of it. But if we can, as kingdom folk, not church folk, kingdom folk, begin to operate in this place, God will begin to turn these things around. God is turning these things around. God is turning these things around. God keeps record. God keeps account of our tithing, our first fruits, seed sown, and even in alms. In Acts, the 10th chapter, God has now spoke to Peter. He's sending him on a journey in order to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And who does he pick to do it? He picks a guy who is devout in prayer and pays alms to the poor. And this is what it says. Eric, give me some closing out music. Just joyful expectation, man. This is what it says. It says, now there was a Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion who was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God in all his household. And this is what it says, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision, an angel of God, who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius! And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. He says your prayers and alms. Why? Because God has purpose to always take care of His. How are you stewarding what God has given you? How are you stewarding it? See, my encouragement, my admonishment, my loving challenge to all of us is that in this year, a new cycle of new beginnings, that this becomes the year that you say, God, I want to get this right. I want to be one that you can call on. I want to be one that you can speak to. I want to be one that you can give resources. And as a result of giving those resources, you can use me to be a blessing. I choose to believe that everybody under the sound of my voice, that's the desire of your heart. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of y'all want to do that? I just believe it has to be. It can't be anything but that. And so I want to pray over us, and then we're going to close out. But no one knows like you where you're at right now. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And however this word is spoke to you, that's what I want you to articulate to the Father right now. If you've been challenged in your finances in any area, or you're challenged right now, this is a good moment to say, God, I'm committing to live by the principles of your kingdom and your word to make this right. You may be one, you're stewarding your resources well, and you want God to do more through you. Then let your prayer be, God, use me even more. Use me even more. Jesus. I speak over you prophetically now, and I declare that if you will give yourself to this word, apply this word to your life, this year will be your year of financial increase. And this is my encouragement to you. Don't think about your job. Don't think about your employer. Don't think about the little raises that they give. I want you to think about the fact that you are a resident of the kingdom. That you live in a kingdom that has it all. And that the King, the God that we serve, is the one that will open up whatever channel, open up whatever door, open up whatever area he needs to open up to bring increase to you as a result of your faithfulness to him even now. Father, I thank you that as we have heard your word today in your presence, God, we receive your word. We want to live our lives based on the principles of your word. And we believe the principles of kingdom economics, of tithing and first fruit and seed and alms. And Father, today we declare once again that we will steward our resources well. We want to be the ones that you can call on, that you can bring the resources to and bring the resources through. Father, we ask you to forgive us for times past when we have not stewarded our resources well. We thank you for forgiving us now, and we thank you for empowering us to do it right in this new cycle of new beginnings. And so I declare that the hand of the enemy is broken off of your finances. I declare that the spirit of lack is broken off of your resources. I declare that the spirit of lack will no longer have a right to you, to your resources, to the things that you own, but that today, by the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit in operation, I break it right now, and I declare release finances and resources coming to you in Jesus' name. And I want you to lift up a shout right now and declare.